This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hello, you have joined us on Embracing Change for episode 8 of our season called From Mess to Message. And this has been, I hope for you guys, I know it has been for me, just a very informative season, hearing other folks' stories and how God has taken them from just a mess of whatever kind of situation, and really brought out the message. So we've had some great guests.
Yeah, and unfortunately we had a few more, but things came up.
Yeah, life happened.
Life happens, and so where we were going to have 10 episodes, we're only going to have 8. This is our wrap-up one, just to go over all of it. And I was just telling Jennifer, I've not been as involved, so I want to thank you, Jennifer, for taking the lead in this, for the first few of them anyway. I think two of them. You took the lead into the two interviews. So thank you. Appreciate that. And then the other thing I want to talk about is when I look at a mess to a message, a lot of times we think it's an instantaneous thing. And I want to even talk a little bit about 30 years for me, where I was in my mess from 5 until I was 32. And so when you look at that, that's about 27 years of being in the mess or being in. And then the mess for me, as we all know my story, but more and more I'm thinking about it, it's more about what my mindset was about the things that had happened to me and then the things that I allowed, then the things I began to do to me. And then it's been from 1992 until now, which is 2022 in August the 9th. I'll celebrate 30 years learning how to come out of the mess to create the message. And the one thing I always think about is the in-between place, that middle ground. So it's the mess, the middle, and the message. And I just believe that it's where in the middle is the process of when you get ready to share where you've been and how you got there and then what you did to begin to walk out of that place. And knowing that we don't really live in the valley and the mountain, we usually live most in the middle because it's and in both. It's sunshine and rain. It's heartbreak and pain. It's joy and pain. It's all those things. I always say the and the both and things. And so I think that we have the opportunity to find the peace in it. And I think you can always tell from someone's story when they have found peace. You were saying that earlier when you were editing one of the presenters of their story.
Deborah Merritt, yeah. Yeah. How it was devoid of any type of bitterness or anger or even question regarding some of the things that she had went through. You could just tell God had really healed her of it, and she could look back at it with a different perspective of just almost being, I don't want to say detached because that's not the right word, but.
But it doesn't, it's not necessarily detachment.
No.
But she repositioned it.
Right. It didn't have any power, any control, any effect on her now. It was like, look what God did and what he brought me through. And here I am. And let me share with you a little bit about what I went through. And you just go, wow. Wow. Like, that's where I think we all strive to be, is when we can recount our past and it has zero power.
Because that really is our legacy. Our legacy is the lane that we find ourselves in and that we leave here when we're no longer present in the natural. And our legacy is our experiences, our stories, so our grandchildren and our children's children's children can tell the resilience and the fortitude that you came through in order to, and your faith and your relationships and those things to me live forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think the void of bitterness and anger, and that's when I'm going to tell you so amazing you say that, because I could tell when I was truly beginning to forgive, because you never forget. And we talked about that in one of the episodes. But I could tell when I would tell my story, the lack of hold it had on me, meaning when I would tell it, and even when I was crying, I wasn't crying because I was in pain anymore. I was crying because of the power it brought to my life.
Hmm.
And that just made me cry as well. And yeah. It was like I could tell the story and not feel the pain, but I could see the power in the story.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing when you can get to that point.
Yeah.
What has no, its claws are not in you, making you feel shame, second guessing it, any kind of regret, whatever it is, all those things that come with an
abusive
past.
The fig leaves, I call them the fig leaves.
Yeah.
It's like taken off, you know, some of us biblically may not know it, but I think the fig leaves come in so many packages and they come in so many ways. And the fig leaves are the things we cover ourselves up with, or we create ourselves to be not authentic or not open and not relational. And so whatever those fig leaves are for you as an individual, I think the process in the middle helps you take the fig leaves off, and then you can stand before your own life naked and unashamed, where other people have no power to make you, to create shame or guilt for you. And like I said before, guilt is to me, a good emotion or a good thing. Shame is not. And so shame tells you who you are. Guilt tells you what you may should not have done. And yeah. I think we need the consciousness of guilt just sometimes to be able to be aware of how I could have done it different. But shame begins to try to tell me that's who I am. And that becomes the lie we believe in so often.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it dictates how we live, the decisions we make, the paths that we walk that are not good for us.
Exactly.
And yeah, so when you get to that level of not letting it have power in you, it really is a place of freedom in so many ways.
I know, and with every story, whether it was Raquel's story with, you know, him, his children, and himself, and learning what it is to live with a situation in his life with his heart, or whether it was LaTanya's story, who told us about the things she experienced in foster care and how she, you know, had to overcome, but how much trauma death she had in her early childhood, you know, from her, you know, her, the woman who raised her to her biological mom, to then being ripped away and put into foster care and having, just trying to find that place of belonging and footage, and how she sat here and cried and talked about it, yeah. But seeing the power in it herself, because sometimes these kind of platforms gives people opportunity to see how far they've come. I think telling your story lets you see where you've been, it lets you see where you are, but it also helps you to clear the path of where you want to go.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it helps other people see that it doesn't matter what you've been through or how bad you think it is or how damaged you feel you are. Those aren't necessarily truths. Those are things that have happened, that have occurred. You may have went through things, but that shouldn't
define you.
Correct. It helps you understand where you came from, but yeah, it doesn't define you.
Yeah. And it does for a while. Don't get us wrong. It will. And most of the time when trauma happens, we have a stuck point, and that stuck point is where you're frozen into that space. And I am learning that more and more, it's more about even the stuck, you being stuck is more mental, you know, because physiologically you're growing, you're developing, you're not staying a 5 or 7 or 9 year old person. You're continuing to grow chronologically and physically, but it's your mental and your mindset that gets stuck and frozen in time. And then those triggers and points, and you keep going and learning other new stuff. And it can be one day that something can happen that will trigger that pain to a point that it can break you down into pieces. Yeah. And if you're not careful, you will think you're more or less losing your mind or something's really, but it's just a point where somebody or something triggered the pain that you had frozen for so long into this ice. You know, I feel like if a person is stuck into ice, and we have this piece coming out in our new design, and it talks about being frozen into a block of ice. And I think that we, you know, if we're not careful, we will just get stuck there. And we don't even understand that there are certain ways to process that information to try to melt that mess, is what I call it, melting the mess, and trying to really decipher what it is that you need so you can begin to you know, understand that I need help. I think asking for help is one of the hardest things that most people seem to not get. You know, like, it's very difficult for them. I know it was for me to ask for help because I thought I already knew what I didn't know. And since I didn't know it, it created even a more mess. And so I just made more messies. And learned that, you know, asking for help is for someone to give me information, to give me affirmation, to give me input on how to navigate out of the tunnel of my messiness or my mess that I was in so I can find the message. You know, hindsight is 20/20. I'm looking at when I have foresight to be able to see things more clear.
Well, and even just thinking about your story, that I hope gives people hope. Like, there's a lot of components to your story, don't get me wrong, that are like hope builders. But even just the fact that you were well into adulthood, that you were able to receive Christ and let him alter your life in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some people will be like, oh, well, I'm too old to, you know, I'm too old to change or whatever. I've gotten into adulthood. What can God really do? God can do a lot.
Yeah, well, I think that they've settled for surviving. But you would have you have to exchange surviving to thriving. It doesn't matter if you're 90, if you're 80, if you're 60. You have to be willing to look at yourself in the mirror and see what version of me is not being presented to the world.
Right.
And if it's not my best version, and I know that because I always used to say, even before I was saved, when you're in the room by yourself in the dark in your bed and you turned over in your bed and then there's a corner of the world that just belongs to you, and you know who you are as well as who you're not. I don't care what nobody say. You can get all the accolades you want in the world and get all the everything, but it's a space that we all have. It's called you, that nobody knows besides God but you and God. And when that space is revealed to you inside of you, you can choose to look at it or you can choose to stay stuck in it. But you have the choice.
Yeah.
And I think for me, there was a time that those two worlds collided. And I made the choice to say, I don't want to be who I am, but I don't know how to get to be who I should be. So I'm going to need some help and I'm going to need someone to teach me how I'm going to need to learn the lessons I need to learn. And I need somebody to teach me. Like I said, in the book of Acts, you know, unless a teacher shows up, you know what I mean? And Philip did that for the eunuch. We need someone to guide us. It's a guide, a life, somebody to guide us through the life tunnels. And and I'm telling you, every 3 to 5 years, I find a guide in my life because it's like taking your car to get an oil change. I had some recalls on my car on Friday, and they did them, and, you know, they do them for my safety. I could have not taken it back and took the risk of whatever the recall was, and it could have, out of the 25 cars that could happen, it could be my car. But what's the risk of just taking it in to maintain, to make sure that I don't put myself in jeopardy?
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to do a recall and look at our lives and say, Lord, I'm asking you to do a recall on me. Show me how to become the best version of me. And if there's something malfunctioning inside, then help me help you with other people to get that malfunction out or to rearrange it so I can see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And let him have the most amazing outcome with it.
Yeah.
I'm reminded, like, with Raquel's story, Patrice's story, your story of, like, the eventual end. Like, a question for me, a lot of what I went through was the suffering and what was the meaning of that suffering, the abuse and all of the things that I went through. And God brought Acts 16 to me of Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas, I wrote about this a little bit this week on my Facebook page, but I was talking about, like, you know, Paul and Silas, they were preaching, they were in the city, and because they had cast a demon out of a woman who was following them, they were taken before a magistrate. They were severely beaten. They weren't just like punched to the face. It says that they were severely beaten. And then they were thrown into prison. They were put in chains. And in the dead of night, like, night is like the worst. That's when your fears creep up on you, when things are like just pouring on you. at the darkest part of the night, what do they do? Backs broken open.
They pray.
They sang. And it says they sung hymns and that the prisoners could hear them. And then as a result of that, the earthquake happened. All of the doors were open. The warden hears it and runs, and he's thinking, everybody's gotten out, so I might as well just take my life. And Paul stops him. Well, the end goal of that whole thing for me, my perspective on this, and it may be different for other people, there are lots of really good truths in that story, is the end goal was the saving of lives. Mm-hmm. They had to endure the beating.
They actually said it. Didn't they say that in that scripture? This was to save lives?
I don't recall that.
It's a version. Maybe it's the Message version.
It might be a different version. Yeah, the one I was looking at, I couldn't tell you what it was. But what they went through saved the warden. It mm-hmm. saved his whole household. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that when they were sitting in that dark prison.
And not chained. Only that, look back at how they got there. The situation, they didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
They were delivering. They were saving someone else by delivering them from the strongholds of their lives.
Right. They were unjustly accused. They were thrown into prison. They were severely beaten. And they chose to sing in the deepest part of the night in a prison with chains on them. Mm-hmm. And I think about that suffering. And I can't tell you how many times I have been in my suffering thinking, as my figurative back is bleeding and I'm in chains, what's the purpose of this, God? I really don't understand the suffering. But the end result is the saving of lives. So all of these stories, your story,
your story.
Yeah, my story. The eventual end is the saving of lives and how God has accomplished that and made it a message. And how, like in Patrice's story, she left Cincinnati. She was from Cincinnati. I think she said she lived in the Fay Apartments and how she felt. She wanted to come back and she wanted to reach that little girl that she was, and how, you know, God took that and crafted that. And it's like, that was for the saving of lives. Mm-hmm. What you went through was for the saving of lives.
And that's it. I think what we all go through is for the saving of lives. And especially if you can tell your story. Let's look at Holly's story with her sister Liz, who ended up passing away in ODing, but it was for the saving of lives. Holly realized that if it wasn't for Liz, she would not have known Christ.
Right.
But it was because Liz led her to a group of people that then she found the Lord. And in finding the Lord, she saved her life, but she also seen her sister's life saved.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes a residual effect, a ripple effect of the pain that we're in is for purpose to bring peace, but it is also to bring perseverance for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so we just have to be willing. And of course, we can't always see it when we're in the mess. That's, you know, that's
when you're in the dark prison.
You're in the dark prison, you can't see the outcome.
Right.
You can't see the shaking of the things coming together or them shaking you off, you know, the earthquake coming. But there is going to be an earthquake in your life. And that earthquake, and for me, it was that still small voice in prison. That was the earthquake for me. Everybody has that spot in their lives that the earthquake comes to shake up something. The question is, when it comes, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
That's the spot I'm talking when it's just you and God and life and space. You have an opportunity to make a shift in your life about certain decisions. And if you don't make those at that time, I always say you never know when the window of opportunity is going to come again. You know, me and my son was talking over the weekend, we've talked a lot this week and the last couple of weeks because I see something in my son that I'm grateful for, even if other people don't see it. And I've seen his perseverance and I've seen his willingness to, he's just got a kind heart, period. He really, really does.
He's a good man.
He's a good man. And
yes,
so doesn't mean he's perfect, but I am seeing past the flaws of the things that I would like to see different. The one thing that I know for sure is that he loves God and he has confessed him and he is his savior. And so the other things will come in its time. You know what I mean? I look at my life and comparative to his, he'll be 39, God willing, in the November of this year. And I look at when I was 39, I was just 7 years on my journey of just, you know what I mean, of just trying to discover who I really was. And so it's like so many things. He said something to me that was just such a blessing. And I said to him, I said, I'm always going to be on your side. I said, I'm always, as long as I got breath in my body, It's not the money I may leave you when I'm gone or whatever it is that I give you material. I'm hoping the wisdom and the insight and the truth will be the thing you hold on to my memory of my relationship to you, because that matters more. I'm not the outcomer in your life. I'm the inputter. And I am here to advise you and give you wisdom of instruction. Whether you use it or not, son, it's not my responsibility. I've done my part. And I said, I just want you to know that I'm always going, as long as I know, going to be truthful to you. And I'm going to be open. And I'm going to encourage you. And I'm going to share with you that even when it looks difficult, don't keep putting yourself in positions with people who is not going to value what you bring to the table, even at the risk of losing them. It's better to lose them now and let them go than you constantly being a fixer. And in the end, you're not getting the residual effect back that you desire. And you're the one, after a while, is going to be distraught. You're the one that's going to be hurt. You're the one that's going to be let down. I said, so, you know, be careful with that. Just be careful. Guard your heart with diligence, because out of it becomes the issues of life.
Yeah.
I said, so just be mindful as a man, as my son, as a man, first a man, then my son, then a father. And at one time, you know, a husband, I said, be mindful. Be mindful to guard your heart.
That's so important. What's the scripture say? Guard your heart, for out of it flows
the issues of life.
Yeah.
That's in Proverbs. Yeah. It's like, you know, you have to really guard it. And so when he and I was talking, he really, you know, he just said to me, Mom, you know, one of the things I have always valued about you was that your willingness to stand up and tell the truth, whether somebody want to hear it or not. And not everyone wants to hear the truth at the same time or all the time. He said, but I already know if I come to you about something, I'm coming to you because I respect that you're going to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And for that, he said, I'm grateful to have a mom that's not going to coddle me, but that's going to tell me the truth. But he said, what matters the most, he said, and I need to say this to you, when you say you are for me and you're going to always have my back, he said, what I realized is how much I needed to hear that today. And I said, well, I didn't know. I knew I was supposed to call you. I did. I was obedient. And I'm glad that I could encourage you, because you can believe that I'm always going to have your back. Because he has a story, and I can't wait to one day possibly him sharing his story.
That would be awesome.
You know, sharing his story. Because I had another person on that shared her story, which was she met me through the prison ministry and read my book and took it home. And in that process, I just remember Joyce. Her name is Joyce. And, you know, and I just, Joyce, you know, has a son. And I remember him reaching out to me at one time saying he was grateful that I gave him his mom back. And I remember him saying he would like to come on and do his story on the podcast. And so hopefully maybe we can reconnect with that, where we can see that. And it goes back to the story in Acts, because the prison guard or warden was saved, but so was his family.
His whole
and so
family.
I'm saying sometimes our mess becomes the middle, but it becomes the message that saves our ministry of family first.
Yeah.
Because it once we get better, then other people around us can become better.
Yeah.
You know, I do better when I know better, and I know better when I do better. And so if I do better, then I can leave a legacy for my son and my son's son. And that's how our whole family is saved, based on the message that we become out of our mess.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it's allowing God that space to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that even like for that warden, he made that choice. And because he made that choice, that was the effect for his family. But then, you know, it all started with Paul and obedience and Silas and suffering.
But you look at Paul, and Paul actually thought he was doing the right thing for all those many years until he had the road to Damascus.
Conversion,
and he had the conversion. And it said, even when when God spoke to Ananias and told him about Paul, he said, and he will suffer much on my behalf. Like, God was telling Paul, you're going to suffer. You know what I mean? Because of this conversion, you're going to suffer. And he did. Whether it was snake bites, boat wrecks, beaten.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Paul suffered hard.
A lot, he did.
You know what I mean? He suffered a lot to bring the truth, whether it was him dealing with Peter in Acts 10 about, you know, meat and, you know what I'm saying, and how Peter was friends with this group and two-faced it with them, you know, and he had to confront those kind of things. Paul was, you know, he wrote most of the New Testament, and he was amazing, you know, and I love what he says in, I think it's Galatians 1 and 10, when he says, you know, I'm not a man pleaser, I'm a God pleaser. And so we have to learn in this space in our lives how to please, making God pleased more so than man. And I think we have it upside down and turned inside out that we like to please other people and man more than God. We will take the risk of standing our mess, you know, to please other people instead of finding God in our lives to bring a message so he can then deal with the middle ground of our lives and bring it together and work it together for our good.
Yeah.
That's what it, when he says that, you know, all things work together for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. It may not look like it now, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. But trust me, if you trust enough to lean in and posture yourself towards God and people who will love you for who you are and not what you do, then it's amazing how better your life can become.
Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. That is so good. So, so good. So,
it's been a great season.
It's been an awesome season. I always love hearing folks' stories. Like, we had Tiffany and former stripper and some of the things, how God had walked her through all that. Just hearing how God can do the most miraculous, wonderful things in the most unexpected ways. And in every situation, like all of those situations, all of the interviews, they were all different as far as how God showed up.
And
for me, I feel very inspired.
So one of the things we really, again, hope you guys will do as you listen to our podcast. And I was out this weekend and getting massage with my husband and two of the people who did our nails and massage. They subscribed to our podcast.
Woo-hoo.
And so
welcome.
Riley is her name, and then Ali is the other person. So, you know, just, you know, if you hear this, Embracing Change, or you know, we're asking you to invite at least three people to begin to listen to our podcast.
There you go.
And so if you are listening, and I know we have some faithful listeners and always are talking to me about what they get out of it, you know, we want our message to save lives. And so if you enjoy our podcast, we're asking you to take our message to someone else's mess or someone else's life or joy. They may not even be in a mess, but whatever they are, we're asking you to take it and ask you to invite three people to subscribe.
There you go.
That's my challenge. That's my asking for help, is that you would be willing to invite three people to subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so that gives space for God, for them to hear something that maybe someone else may not hear, may not pick up on. That's
exactly
the beauty of God. He can put truths in different phrases for different people. And yeah.
And for the next podcast, there's some things that's been going on and another level of reconstruction in my life and some things that's going on in the ministry's life, and things are happening for this ministry and myself in the background I'm not at liberty to talk about yet. But by the time I do my next session, maybe I'll be released to be able to talk about some of those things. And I'm looking forward to even greater messages that the Lord is bringing into my life and to the ministry's life and into the journey of bringing me into a place of peace and prosperity and power. I think that's what I may call the next one, is, you know, peace, prosperity, and power.
The three P's.
Yeah. And so, because, you know, you've got to find the peace in order to know you're already prosperous so you can then hook into your power.
Oof.
And so
that'll be so good.
I'm just looking forward to what the Lord is doing and what he's already done, and I'm just catching up with.
That's right.
I'm catching up with what he already done
right.
in my life, and I'm catching up with it, and it's good.
It's good. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. All right, folks. It's been a great season. We will see you next season. Thanks.
Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lacreta Bowman.